Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Real Talks. I'm your host, David Steele. I hope everybody had a long weekend and enjoy themselves. And I just want to say thank you to all of our veterans. And, thank you for your service. I know you guys don't get the just that you do. And it's only one day out of the year. We should be thanking you 365 days out of the year. But hello, Coco. I hope you had a great weekend. Yeah, so it just I didn't do a show yesterday because I felt like it was, I had some things to do and I had, some other stuff. But nonetheless, we have a lot to get to today. And as I said, I hope everybody had a great weekend. So let's just jump right in. So as we know, there was a little movie over this extended weekend, okay? And I'm talking about The Little Mermaid. So this has been Disney's fourth or fifth live action remake. So when you go back to some of the other ones they've done, I mean, we're talking about Beauty and the Beast. We're talking about Dumbo. We're talking even about, the Jungle Book. Nice. So you're going to see Spider-Verse. So I have to watch the first one tonight. And I'm going to be going to see Spider-Verse on Thursday. So very cool. Very cool. So definitely, this has been a big event. And so this actually scored really, really big for everywhere, okay? Internationally, though, it didn't really do so well. And I'm going to talk about those numbers in a minute. Coco says a fight broke up and was watching Little Mermaid. What? Get out of here. No kidding. That's weird. You'll have to tell me more about that a little later. That I definitely want to hear about that story. But yeah, so let's just jump right into the article. So this comes from the THR, and it says that Little Mermaid swims to $118.6 million Memorial Day debut. The Little Mermaid is swimming laps around the competition this Memorial Day weekend at the Memorial Day box office. Disney's live-action remake of the iconic animated film is headed for an estimated four-day debut of $118.6 million, the holiday's fifth largest opening of all time. According to final weekend actuals, the three-day actual gross is estimated at $96 million. On Saturday, the film looked like it was going to earn north of $120 million over the long weekend, but the domestic estimate shifted. Overseas, Little Mermaid started out with a disappointing $68.1 million from 51 markets and a projected global launch of 186.7 through Monday. The pick drowned in China, opening to 2.5 million. So anybody who doesn't know, China is the largest box office market in the world. Box office pundits say the social media campaign protesting a black actress being Ariel could have had an impact in Asian markets and elsewhere. In North America, The Little Mermaid earned a promising A cinema score. It is the first 2023 tentpole to target females, which made up 68% of the ticket buyers. The film is also drawing an ethnic diverse audience, 35% of which were African-American, followed by 33% being white, 23% being Latino, and 9% Asian or other. Black moviegoers over-indexed in a big way, while white moviegoers under-indexed. Rob Marshall directs the live-action adaptation. The new Little Mermaid starts Halle Bailey as Ariel, the spirited young mermaid who makes a dangerous deal with an evil sea witch, Ursula, in order to experience life on land and meet the dashing Prince Eric. The pack, however, poses a great risk to her father's watery kingdom. Bailey's performance as Ariel has drawn praise from critics amidst a racial backlash among social media commentators, protesting the cast of a black actress in the title role. Disney insiders don't expect the protests to hurt the film in North America, but agree the backlash could be impacting the film's performance in certain markets overseas. Cast also stars David Diggs, Awkwafina, Javier Bardem, and Art Malik, along with Jason Temple. Last year's Top Gun Maverick scored the biggest Memorial Day opening of all time with $160.5 million, followed by 2007's Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End at 153, 2008's Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, 151 million, and X-Men's Last Stand at 122.9. Pirates and Indiana Jones opened on a Thursday, so it isn't an apples-to-apples comparison. The Friday through Monday earnings of those two films were $139.8 million and $126.9 million, respectively. Universal's Fast X easily came in at number two as it crossed the $500 million mark at the global box office in the first 12 days of its release. The pick grossed $28.5 million for the 4 days and $22 million for the 22.3 for the 3 days, which represented a 66% drop from its opening weekend. Fast X will finish Monday with an estimated world haul of around $507.3 million after earning another $24.3 million internationally for a fantastic domestic total of just under $400 million. Disney and Marvel's The Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which is expected to cross the $300 million threshold in its fourth weekend, earning $25.3 million in the four-day weekend. Universal and Illumination continues on with the Super Mario Brothers placing fourth in its eighth weekend, scoring $6.2 million for the 4 days. Okay, let's talk about this. That's an impressive opening. It really is an impressive opening. I had a very good weekend. Thank you, Dad. I took yesterday off because, you know, I was trying to clean some things up, and I got a lot to do coming up for June. I mean, we've got Spider-Verse coming out, and, you know, I was just reading the article from the THR about Little Mermaid and a bunch of other stuff, and we get some juicy stuff to get to. So, yeah. So basically what ended up happening with this, as I said, this was one of the fifth major film from Disney to do this. But it's interesting because this is the first film that's really for the female crowd, and 2/3 of it was female. This is really good. Underperformed a little. I was shocked when I read the article to see how much it really underperformed in China. That all being said, I think it's going to be fine. And the other thing too is you're going to have people to come out. Not everybody's going to be happy. And this backlash for Ariel, okay, Halle Bailey, it's always going to be there. Okay, you're always going to have people that say, oh, I don't like her because of such and such. That's not going to impact the film. This is where people, I think, have to be able to separate the art from the artist. And just look at it as a whole. Don't look at it as, you know, that person. Look at them, how they're performing for this role. And I think it'll be fine. And it's not a bad take. What blew my mind, okay, and Kevin says here, Little Mermaid will make more money domestic. I can see that. Because, you know, it only made $68 million overseas, Kevin. You're right about that. And performing at $2.7 million, not good. And I think that even with this backlash, you're going to have, you know, I've always said this, and you guys know this about me. It's never about the opening weekend. It's about the second weekend. And we would in the piece, they were just talking about how Fast 10 fell off a cliff, literally, okay, dropping 66%. It's going to be interesting. Now, speaking of, on the flip side of the coin, okay, you have Guardians of the Galaxy. So let's talk about this real quick. Guardians of the Galaxy made almost $27 million, $26 million in its third weekend. It's approaching $300 million domestic. So this is one of those films that could really carry over. Now, I don't see this doing great business against Spider-Verse and everything. We're now starting to get in the thick of it, right? We are now starting to get in the thick of things because now next week, okay, we're going to have Spider-Verse come out. And now you're going to have four movies, okay? You're going to have four movies that are really going to be out there for everybody. You're going to have Guardians. You're going to have Fast 10. You're going to have Little Mermaid. And you're going to have Spider-Verse. This is when things start to get interesting. So I'll be very curious, and we'll probably talk about it next week, about what the projections are going to be for Spider-Verse. And how they're going to do it. And I think Spider-Verse is, obviously, I think it's going to win the weekend. But it's going to be interesting to see how much it you know, when's the weekend by, and what the second week drop off for Little Mermaid is. Because if this drops off like a cliff, okay, like a 66% like Fast 10, then that's worrisome. Okay, usually you want somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 to 50%. If you can get that, great. I mean, the fact that Mario, the fact that Mario made almost $7 million in his eighth week out, and by the way, you can get it on streaming, is still incredible. Anyways, guys, what do you think about the numbers for Little Mermaid? And just in general, what do you think about Guardians of the Galaxy holding a $27 million? Do you think it's going to do just the same amount next week? What do you think is going to happen throughout the month of May because we have so many movies? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments, and I'll get back to everybody. Okay. So we go from a picture that is going to be coming out in Spider-Verse, and we're just talking about The Little Mermaid. So I'm a 1980s kid, okay? And so I love horror, but I'm a very old school kind of guy, okay? My Mount Everest, if you will, okay, is Jason. By the way, all originals, no remakes, okay, is Jason, Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, and, you know, you can put anybody else in there. So this comes from Variety, but there, I won't say sad news. So anybody knows anything about horror, okay? The one person you equate everybody to, Robert Englund. He has always been Freddy Krueger. I mean, and the thing is that Freddy is... Wes Craven was not only a genius, okay, but he was able... The stories behind it, I'm not going to bore you with it. You guys can look into it yourself, but it was genius. And he's had almost a 50-year career. And, you know, so he is hanging up the moniker of Freddy Krueger. And this comes from Variety. And the piece reads, Freddy Krueger actor Robert Englund on his 50-year journey, why he won't play Freddy anymore, and who he would get to play him. Robert Englund starred in one of the most revered science fiction series of all time. He's directed movies, voiced video game characters, and acted in scores of movies and television. But he's well aware that his legacy is playing a horror film icon, Freddy Krueger, in 8 Nightmare on Elm Street films in a television series. An upcoming documentary, Hollywood Nights and Nightmares, The Robert Englund Story, comes out June 6th. And it dives into England's unique silver screen journey of which he's self-facing. I know who icons are, he says. I'm not an icon. Maybe Freddy Krueger is, but I'm not. I'm just a character actor, a utility actor who's been very lucky. Perhaps the most surprising chapter of England's story happened early on when he was frequently adjacent to the 70 blockbusters. From reading to Han Solo and Star Wars and urging his roommate Mark Hamill to audition for Luke Skywalker, to gathering dead leaves to turn Pasadena's California into a Midwest street for Halloween. Englund has got his big break as Willie in V, an alien franchise which aired from 1983 to 1985. Despite a break filming V, Englund auditioned for Wes Craven's horror film, A Nightmare on Elm Street, as a burned child who haunts Springfield, Ohio. A low-budget hit, sequel after sequel was greenlit, and Englund was pleased to see the horror genre get some respect as he continued the role. I felt it was a cultural shift that people recognized, he said. Horror is the punk rock of cinema in its own way. There was a recognition of pulp as a great ingredient in our cultural world. There's plenty of room for pulp and melodrama, and the door opened wider for the horror. Englund last played his signature character in a film in 2003's Freddy vs. Jason, which was horrible. Less than a decade later, Freddy was recast from Jackie Earle Haley in playing his 2010 remake of the 1984 version Elm Street, which is even worse. I saw that in theaters and I said, oh, this is going to be, you know, and I've never saw it again. While it was a financial hit, Films decried it as its series low. and another chapter was never made. Despite the horror community loyalty to England, he's fond of Haley's Freddy and thinks that one key change from the original which could make it go off the track. Jackie's just so good, a wonderful actor. So I don't think it was that, he said. I've always thought that Freddy is being described as a child killer. So when they made Freddy a child molester in the remake, that's not what Freddy is, I don't think. By taking such a dark, dark place, there's no room for the personality of Freddy to be exploited. Speaking with England, it's impossible not to wonder about the future of the franchise. Even though he said he'd never written any of the films, he had an idea about how to bring Elm Street back into modern times. You'd have to deal with technology and culture, he says. For instance, if one of the girls was an influencer, it would be interesting for Freddy to somehow haunt her subconscious and manifest himself, perhaps exploit everyone that follows her, which, by the way, I think would be really cool. He'd be willing to pick up the fedora again for the right script? I'm too old and thick to play Freddy now, he says. I just can't do fight scenes for more than one take. I've got a bad neck and a bad back and arthritis in my right hand, probably for holding up the glove. So I have to hang it up, but I would love to cameo. England's pick for a modern Freddy? He was wowed by a fan who mentioned Kevin Bacon as a replacement. That's interesting, I gotta say. I know he respects the genre, and he's such a fine physical actor, he says. I think that in the silence and the way Kevin moves, it would be interesting. So let me talk about it, and I'll get to something real quick. This is interesting. So Metal, hello, Metal, how are you? Hope you had a great weekend, Metal. Sony Pictures barely promotes Spider-Man and the Spider-Web. I mean, you know, I think they'll give it time. I really don't think they need too much word of mouth because they have everything they need. Yes, Dad. That was the other one I was thinking of, Doug Bradley as Pinhead. And I love Hellraiser. I love Hellraiser. I think the 1980s, Clive Barker was a genius with Hellraiser. And the whole thing behind that, he would be my fourth one, by the way, Doug Bradley, Pinhead. I would love to see Jason Blum secure the rights to make another Elm Street film. I know he explored it along with Friday the 13th. Yeah. Look, Jason Blum is a phenomenal, phenomenal filmmaker when it comes to horror films. I didn't realize this until after I saw it, but The Black Phone was amazing. The Black Phone was absolutely amazing. So I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that. But that being said, it's sad to see him go. I love Nightmare on Elm Street. And just the quirky one-liners and everything else. So one of the most famous one-liners, okay, he's got a couple, but one of the most famous one-liners is from number three. So this actually, in this person's dream, they dream to be a big movie star. Okay. And this is, you know, he said, so she was dreaming and he says, it's your big break in television. Welcome to prime time. And he just smashes his. I love the way they were able to do it back then. And it's just phenomenal. It's sad to see him go. I think that, I don't know. I mean, part of me wants to see the whole series, the whole thing brought back. But once again, I'm old school. I mean, I think that, you know, you hit the nail on the head, Dad, with Doug Bradley. I think that's my four. I think it's Jason. I think it's Michael Myers. It's got to be Freddy Krueger and Pinhead. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they do all of that stuff. So I'm really interested. Part of me wants them to bring it back, but part of me also knows that I wouldn't be as good. Part two, you've got the body, I've got the brain. I've got the brain as he peels off his scalp to show the brain. Yeah, I mean, just, the writing was just phenomenal, phenomenal for that for that series. And the series, I gotta say, the series wasn't that good. Anybody who knows of the series, okay, it just was not that good. And Freddy vs. Jason, I know that, you know, it's one of those things that they wanted to do, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyways, guys, what do you think about Robert Englund hanging up as Freddy Krueger? Are you sad to see him go? Which horror icons do you think of most? And which ones do you enjoy? Leave me your thoughts down in the comments, and I'll get back to everybody. Okay. So we go from that story to another big story that just dropped today about Lionsgate. And Lionsgate has been, they put out some very good movies over the past, I would say, last couple of years. And so the movie, one of the big franchises for them, they've got a new one coming out, another Hunger Games coming out in November. But the one that everybody wants to see is John Wick 5. And Dad says here, did you ever read the sequel comic? No. No, I didn't. I didn't even know there was a comic book. It had to be better than the original, the film. It had to be. That's fascinating that they even made a comic book. So one of the most interesting franchises out there, and look, he's still kicking ass at 53, 54 years old, is John Wick. And Keanu Reeves is just, he is one of the most underrated actors, I would say, of this last generation. I mean, because when you think about it, he's had two franchises in the last 20 years. I mean, he had The Matrix, right? All the way back in 1999 and doing Matrix Revolution and The Matrix Reloaded and all of those. And now he's had John Wick. And John Wick has made a lot of money at the theaters. So basically, the news is this. Lionsgate has confirmed they are working on a John Wick 5. Okay? So it's in early development right now. And this comes from THR and says, Lionsgate Motion Picture Group Chair Joe Drake teased development of a fifth movie in the John Wick franchise Thursday during a Q4 earnings call that has fans abuzz. What is official, as you know, Ballerina is the first spinoff to come out next year. We're in development on three others, including five. So he's talking about John Wick 5. Including five, and including the television series The Continental, which will be airing soon. We're building out the world, and when that five movie comes, it will be organic. It will be original, grown out of how we were starting to tell stories. But you can rely on a regular cadence of John Wick. March 24th release of the Chad Stewart-directed John Wick 4 was another hit for the Assassin franchise starring Keanu Reeves, topping $363 million globally. Its success instantly raised questions about the potential for a fifth film that reps from the studio and the director himself agreed was on the table. It's very flattering for them to come back and, well, you know, say, we want more. But it's not just a cash grab. It's legitimately the audience is wanting more, he says. Following the release in an episode during the THR's Behind the Screen podcast, I think we all need that little bit of time to go. Let's see what's next. If Keanu and I, a few months from now, sit down at a whiskey bar in Japan and go, yep, we'll never do another one of those. Then all of a sudden go, yeah, I've got a great idea. We're open to it. Now, here comes some spoilers for the fourth one, in case you haven't seen it. In Chapter 4, with the cast starring, including Ian McShay, Lawrence Fishburne, Bill Skarsgård, and Donnie Yen, Wick uncovers a path to defeat the High Table. In defeating the High Table, a journey that sets in motion the events of the film in his climactic duel in Paris. The movie concluded with Michet's Winston and Fishburne's Bowery King standing at a grave bearing Wick's name. What really happened? We'll have to wait to find out. Okay, let's talk about this because I think it's one of those things where Keanu has range, very underrated. I enjoyed him in Knock Knock. John Wick is sigil. Yeah, absolutely. I think for what it is, John Wick is just an amazing, amazing movie as far as visually and everything else. And once again, I concur with you here. Rest in peace, Lance Riddick, who unfortunately lost his life right after the release of the fourth film. And I believe they paid tribute to him. So, as I was getting up, they're in development for another one. And this isn't a cash grab either, as the director was saying. I think this could be really cool. And it's one of those things where, ironically, I haven't seen it. I've heard everybody says, you haven't seen John Wick? No, I haven't gotten around to it. So that is something that I need to, you know, put down the to watch list and everything else. And I think this is another great franchise for Lionsgate to come back and continue. I'll be honest. I mean, right now, I mean, not to say they don't have too much, but right now it's not the biggest things in the world. They have the new Hunger Games film coming out in November, but right now this is their bread and butter. And if Keanu wants to come back, fine. I have no problem with that. I mean, as I said before, he is one of the what are my thoughts on Ballerina? So I actually haven't seen any of them. So I actually have to sit down and watch this. Now, I know the premise of the first film is that his wife had bought him a dog and the dog got killed. Somebody killed the dog. So he is, and I believe the wife died too. And he has gone and he basically has killed every single person in some of the most vicious ways that you can imagine. So I'll be honest with you, Dad. I really can't comment on that because I don't know. I think spinoffs, though, on the fact of a spinoff, I think it'd be good. You know, I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, I just did a piece last week about spinoffs of the Fast and Furious. So, I mean, they have to want to get made. They have to be relevant. And I think this one would definitely be relevant. And Ana de Armas is a phenomenal actress. Her range spans, you go look at everything from Knives Out to No Time to Die, right? So she's a phenomenal actress. And I mean, hell, she got an Academy Award nomination for Blonde. That just tells you what kind of range she has, right? So, but yeah, I think this would be a phenomenal, phenomenal get. And I do think that the last thing I'll say is this. He wants to keep doing these, let him. Because right now, there is not any other franchise for either Lionsgate. You know, we got Mission Impossible that's closing in a couple of years. So I think that's something to be noted too. So all that being said, I think it will be a phenomenal thing to see. And with these spinoffs coming out, you know, it will definitely be good. Anyways, what do you guys think about a John Wick 5? Would you be up to seeing another John Wick? Do you think he actually died at the end of John Wick 4? Or do you think they kind of faked his death like Nick Fury in Civil War? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments, and I'll get back to everybody. Okay. So we come to the final story of the day. Kind of a short show, but this last story, basic premise, you know, yep, exactly. Man's best friend. Exactly, Dad. Okay. This is the meat and potatoes of the day. I got a lot to say about this. And it just blows my mind how things sometimes get said and then construed or lack thereof. So as everybody knows, we're only two and a half weeks away from one of the biggest, arguably the most anticipated film of the year. That's The Flash. So this film has garnered so much talk over the past couple of years in so many different ways. From the lack of Warner Brothers coming out when, you know, Miller was doing his thing to everything. So the reason I bring this up, okay, is because Andy Muschietti, the director, okay, came out and said something very, very interesting. And this comes to us from Variety. And he says, the Flash director won't recast Ezra Miller in a potential sequel. No one, quote, can play the character as well as they did. Ezra Miller will continue being the Flash as long as Andy Muschietti is involved in the Warner Brothers superhero franchise. During an interview on the Discourse podcast, Muschietti said he had no plans to recast Miller despite the actress' history of legal troubles and alleged abuse. If a sequel happens, yes, Muschietti said about having Miller back as the Flash. I don't think there's anyone that could play that character as well as he did. The other depictions of the character are great, but this particular vision of the character, they just excelled in doing it. As you said, the two Barrys, it's like a character that was made for them. Flash producer Barbara Muschietti, his wife, in principal photography, Ezra was brilliant. In the most committed and most professional actor, Ezra gave everything for this role, physically, creatively, emotionally, they were absolutely supreme. Miller was cited in Vermont with felony burglary last year. In 2020, the actor made headlines after a recording surfaced in which they appeared to be choking a woman outside a bar in Iceland. No charges were filed. The actor was also arrested twice in Hawaii last year, once for disorderly conduct and harassment. In the Hawaii incidents, Miller pled no contest to a single count of misdemeanor disorderly conduct and paid a $500 fine and $30 in court costs. The harassment charges were dismissed. Variety exclusively reported last August that Miller was seeking treatment for, quote, complex mental health issues, end quote, after going through, quote, through a time of intense crisis, end quote. I want to apologize to everyone that I have alarmed and upset with my past behavior, Miller said in a statement at the time. I am committed to doing the necessary work to get back to being healthy, safe, and a productive stage of my life. Given that Muschietti's The Flash was developed and filmed under the previous leadership of DC Studios, it's unclear or Northern Miller's tentpole starring gets a sequel or not. Surely if big box office grosses will help. James Gunn and Peter Safran are now in charge of DC Studios, and their first slate announcement did not include any word on a second go-around for Miller's The Flash. Gunn has already hyped the film, calling it, quote, one of the best superhero movies ever, end quote. While Safran has said that Miller's future is on The Flash, it's dependent on their continued recovery. Ezra is completely committed to the recovery, Safran said in January, and we are fully supportive of that journey that they're on right now. When the time is right, when they feel like they're ready to have the discussion, we'll all figure it out what the best path forward is. But right now, they're completely focused on the recovery. In our conversation with them over the past few months, it feels like they're making enormous progress. Warner Brothers unveiled The Flash in its entirety at CinemaCon in April. The tentpole earned strong first reactions from journalists in attendance. Andy Muschietti told press at the event, Ezra is well now. We're all hoping that he gets better. They're taking the necessary steps to recovery. They're dealing with mental health issues, but they're well. We've talked to them not too long ago, and they're very committed to getting better. The Flash production designer Paul Austenberry said earlier this month that moviegoers will, quote, forget, end quote, Miller's history by the time the movie opens. Thus, it won't be a concern for the movie. Okay, let's talk about this. There is a ton of things wrong with this. And I got to say, I'm a little taken aback by it, to be honest. Number one, okay, this is not his call. This is not Andy Muschietti's call, okay? Nor is it his wife's call. And that's something to be said, Chip. That being said, I think that him coming out to say that they will not get recast is not the right thing, okay? It just isn't. Because he has no control over this whatsoever. And I think that, because look, at the end of the day, it's up to James Gunn, okay? It's up to James Gunn, what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And for him to come out and basically say, no, we're not going to recast him, it's not his call. It isn't. I'm just going to call a spade a spade. That's first. Number two, you're setting a very, very bad precedent for any actor in any with any studio to basically say, you know what, I'm going to go do a couple of illegal activities. And by the way, you guys can still keep me. That's number two. So what I would equate it to, okay, it would be like if whatever happens with Jonathan Majors. By the way, Jonathan Majors' court case is right around the corner. It's only like a week and a half away. I think it's June 9th. Nonetheless, so here's the thing. It would be like Kevin Feige basically coming out and saying, you know what? Regardless of what happens with Jonathan Majors, we're still going to keep him as Kang. And can you imagine the backlash and the outrage and the everybody coming out and saying, what are you doing? I mean, you want a way to sink Marvel? That would be the way to do it. Especially after even if he pleads out, okay? Because don't forget, he pled out, okay? He paid a $500 fine, $30 for the court costs, and moved on, okay? I just can't see, you know, and it comes down to James Gunn's decision. This isn't Machete's decision. There's something else to keep in mind here, okay? Anybody who... I did a story a couple of months ago. So Andy Muschietti, okay, is developing a prequel to the Smash film It. Okay, it's called Welcome to Derrytown. Now, you've got to wonder if him coming out and making these comments, okay, about this and saying we won't recast this and everything else, you've got to wonder if this wouldn't jeopardize not only the series itself, but him casting. I mean, let's say, and this is years down the road, but let's say one of the cast members gets in trouble. Okay? What happens? Would they recast him? Recast the person? Well, we know for a fact that he doesn't want to recast Ezra. So why would he recast the other person? So I think that, you know, it's one of those things that, look, they need to get the help. They are getting the help. That's good. But they also need to do the right thing. And the right thing, and there's one other key comment here I'm not even touching on. And that's the Snyderverse. He is the last person, they are the last person from the Snyderverse. Okay? Now, there hasn't been any rumblings that Gal Gadot is gone and Jason Momoa is gone. But, okay, Patty Jenkins is no longer attached to that third Wonder Woman. Okay? They were, you know, like peanut butter and jelly. Okay? Jason Momoa, I doubt he's going to, he'll probably do this Aquaman at the end of the year, and that's it. Okay? But he's done. Cavill, okay, we all know what happened with that situation, okay? You know, Dwayne Johnson tried to strong-arm him in, okay? And he got fired. And the other thing is this. People will say, well, why didn't you fired Henry Cavill, but you won't fire Ezra Miller? Why? So there's so many different dynamics here and so many different layers. I think that, now look, had he said this after the film was released, the end of the month, July 4th, that was understandable because the film was out. Okay. But to say it before the film's going to be released, when he doesn't have, and look, I get a director has a lot of things on his plate. Look, that's why they have casting directors. Okay. If you're casting, if you have three people to cast, A, B, and C, and they come back to you and say, okay, well, person A did this well, person B did this that well, and person C did the other thing well. I really want to go with person A. I think that they were the best ones, but it's up to you. They don't always go with the decision of that casting director. They could go with person C, and people go, what are you talking about? And subsequently, if it's a hit, they look like a genius. So a lot of things wrong with this. A lot of things wrong with this. Excuse me. I think that if this had been after the film had been released, he said this, it would have been one thing. But I just, it was the wrong thing to say. And look, it's not doing what Dwayne tried to do. I get that. He's not trying to strong arm anybody. But this isn't his game. He's just a pawn on the chessboard in the grand scheme of things. And I think that when you start to say things and make moves that are not representative of that particular brand, they'll drop you in a heartbeat. And I got to wonder, like I said before, I got to wonder if this is not going to have an effect on his other projects. So it's always fascinating to me when artists come out and say something. So Kevin says the Flash domestic. Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I could easily see that, Kevin. I don't know if he'll hit 100. It might. To be absolutely honest with you, it's all going to depend on what Spider-Verse Transformers do. Guys, the Flash here is this director kind of, in my opinion, kind of put his foot in his mouth. Because the fact is that he should have made these comments after, but at the same time, it's up to James Gunn. And that's what I think people have. But to say, oh, we're not going to recast Ezra Miller, you can't say that. For a number of different reasons, as I explained. What if, let's just say hypothetically, what if they don't want to come back? What if they don't want to come back? There's a possibility there. Let's just say that they're like, okay, I'm done. Now you have to recast them. Okay? So, I appreciate this. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Metal. I appreciate that. I'm going to do something special for you. I'm going to get something for you, and we'll figure something out for you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm blown away. Thank you. We'll figure something out for you. I promise. But thank you. You're making me all. Thank you very much. I try. You know, I'm just trying to pick up and do this. And thank you very much. I appreciate that. And see, you know what though? This is why I do this for you guys. I don't do this for me. I love movies, sure. I love cinema. I love the bit, but it's for you guys. So, last thing I'll say is, what do you think about this news about the Flash, guys? Oh, you guys are too nice. Okay, what I'm going to do is, yeah, thank you very much, both of you. What do you think about the Flash, guys? What do you think about Andy's comments, and should he have made them? Leave your thoughts down in the comments, and I'm going to get back to everybody. Okay, guys, I am just overwhelmed. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Well, I'm going to figure out something good for you guys. I promise. I got a couple things I have in mind. Thank you very much. So, and that's the thing. Like I was saying earlier, I do this for you guys. I mean, I know, and you guys are loyal. I agree with you about the Flash comments. I agree, but we'll see what happens. I don't think there's going to be any repercussions. So it is what it is. But I want to say thank you, because you guys are, I know this is small and it's everything else, but James Gunn doesn't like someone speaking. Oh, no, I totally agree with you, Dad. Totally agree with you. Because the thing is that he is one of those. I mean, look, I follow him on Twitter, and he is, I've always said this about James Gunn, he is the most vocal, transparent studio head you'll ever hear in your life. He'll shut down rumors. He'll say what he's doing. He'll show the people the process and everything else. And I totally agree with you. I think Ezra is done. Machete. Look, he has this thing at Warner Brothers, as I said, coming out called Welcome to Derry. It's supposed to be a prequel to the It franchise, the one that came out a couple of years ago. I'm really kind of curious to see how that's going to go. Maybe we're talking about the origin of Pennywise. That's a possibility. But I'm curious to see if that's going to have any impact on that. But I don't know. So we'll see. Anyways, I don't know what to say. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. As I said, I do this for you guys. And this is, you know, so he says, done regarding the DCU. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if anything, he should have waited until the film came out. I mean, and here's the thing. When you're talking about comments like that, you're telling me you couldn't wait another 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Now, I would have been curious to listen to the podcast and see what the question was. Or, if nothing else, you tiptoe around it. You say, you know what? You know, I'm not sure. So they said, would you cast Ezra, you know, recast him? Like, you know what? I'm not too sure about that. That's not my call. I really have to, we have to really figure things out. There's a lot of, you know, we'll probably wait until the film comes out, blah, 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 blah. You give a soft answer, but an open-ended answer. So it gives you the opportunity, whatever you say, you're not doing that. Do you think Ezra is better than Grant? So I'm not too familiar with the Flash mythology type of thing, but I'll say this. As a person, Ezra has a lot to work on. Ezra has a lot to work on. If we're talking about the character himself, then look, I just did a whole Return of the Jedi thing, you know, a couple weeks ago, and one of the main topics in there was redemption. And how far can somebody go and still be redeemed? That all being said, you know, everybody has Grant hands down as the best. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited for this movie. I mean, I am Mission Impossible, but this one, really, really excited for. But, yeah, like I was saying, you guys, you are the loyal supporters. I mean, hopefully that I'm growing this thing and everything else, but the fact that you actually believed in me that much to do that really warms my heart. And I thank you for all the kind words that you've been saying, because, you know, I do this because of you guys. And it's not the hard work. It's the hard work behind the scenes. But when I get in front of the camera, you know, this is the joy I get. Right? This is the joy I get. So Kevin says, Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse. Yeah, that sounds about right, Kevin. I have to look in to see how much. So the first Spider-Verse movie, okay? The first Spider-Verse movie made I want to say it was close to $93 million. So that being said, okay, I could see it making right around that much, maybe. So let me look into real quick. Let me go to Inside the Spider-Verse real quick. I want to say that made across. Okay, so Inside. Here we go. I want to say that made around $85 million. So, wow, that made $35 million opening weekend. It's definitely going to crush that. So to your point, I could see that making twice as much. And the budget on that movie was $90 million. Okay. Which is fascinating. So I could definitely see that doing that. So the budget on this film. Okay, we don't know about the budget, but yeah, my guess is it's around the same. It's gotta be around the same. But definitely. Yeah, and he says Boogeyman. 10 to 15, it seems a little low. I mean, there's a lot of factors. I think it'll be more due to the fact that Fortnite is heavily used, Miles Morales and Spider-Man 2029 in the game. Definitely. Oh, definitely. Definitely. And there are so many good things going for Spider-Verse. So many good things. First and foremost, okay, it is animated. Okay. Second of all, it is, to your point, more generated to the younger crowd. Okay. Number three, it's an Academy Award winner. And it won Best Animation. So it has a chance to win Best Animation again. I think it's going to do really, really well. Really well. So, but yeah, I just wanted to get you guys. I gotta say, I deeply, deeply appreciate you, because you know, I'm starting this out from nothing, and I'm trying to grow this. And you guys have been a rock. You've been here every single day. I mean, and I, you know, you too, Dad. I mean, you guys are just, I'm overwhelmed. And it's just one of those things that I deeply appreciate it. I deeply appreciate it. And I'm trying to spread the word on this and everything else. And, you know, I'm going to figure out something cool for you guys. I will. So, but, yeah, I mean, so that's going to do it for today's show. I mean, I didn't really come on yesterday because a couple of things. Number one, I'm really starting to get things going. I've got a lot to do. I appreciate that, Metal. I appreciate that. And I'm, you know, the thing is, ever since, and I don't know if anybody ever watched him, you guys watched him, but since John, that whole John Campia thing happened, I mean, I was doing this, and I really followed his template, and I was really trying to, you know, do this because I can, right? But yeah, so anyways, thank you from the bottom of my heart. So a couple of things, guys. Important things. Number one, I've been continuing to put up the podcast, okay? Let me do this right now. I'm going to... Bear with me real quick. I'm going to go to Spotify. And I know you guys are in here all the time. But I am always putting up, okay, brand new podcasts. So what I've done over the past, I guess, this here, okay, that is the link to the podcast. Okay, so if you've missed a show or whatever, I put them on all the way going back to March. So if you want to go listen to a couple of the shows, they're there for you. You can also find them on iHeartRadio and Apple Podcasts. So I finally got to the month of May. Woohoo! So I was editing them myself, and I said I'm never going to catch up. So I actually sent them out to be edited, and there's about 10 or 12 of them. In there, you're going to have the whole month of March. I'm going to be getting them back next week. In there, you're going to have the Fast X spoiler cast, the Guardian spoiler cast, and all of the shows from May. Pretty much all of the shows. So over the course of next week, I'm going to be putting them all up. I'm going to wait to put up this week's shows to get those back up and put all of May up. So I tuned into you on the radio. Thank you very much, Dad. Thank you. So that's good. So yeah, if you guys can, that's the other thing too. If you guys miss a show, okay, my goal is by June, you know, the beginning of June, July, I'm going to be putting all this stuff up in audio form. So if you're not able to be here for a show, okay, you can go to one of the, whether it's Spotify or iHeart, whatever is good for you, and then you'll be able to listen to the show. So that's the first thing. Number two. Mission Impossible rewatch series. I'm going to sit down. I've got a lot to do on the next in the next coming days. So I'm going to be recording. I think I'm going to sit down and watch it tonight. The Dark Knight. That is going to be March June's perfect movie. Okay. And so that one's there. I got to sit down and watch Across the Spider-Verse for Thursday. This upcoming Saturday, guys. Okay. This upcoming Saturday. We are going to be doing the spoiler cast. So stay tuned for that. Okay. So that's going to be June. That's going to be, June 3rd. I'll figure out a time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go see it on Thursday, okay? And then we'll come back here on Saturday, okay? And we'll talk all about Across the Spider-Verse. Other thing, and you guys, thank you so much again. Tell everybody about this. There are a number of different ways to support me, okay? You guys are just, I'm over the moon. I have this here, okay? Also, you can go to my store. We got Father's Day coming up. Shirts, mugs, everything else. And yeah, so I've got a lot going on. And I'm trying to get this all ready for you guys to do that. So yeah, so stay tuned for The Dark Knight. That will be up sometime the first week of June. And yeah, guys, stay tuned because there's a ton of... Just wait. June is going to be so much fun for everybody. So, okay, guys. Thank you. Once again, I do appreciate it. So that is going to do it for today. And I do the three things that you got to do. Be safe. Be careful. And have a great rest of the day, guys. I'm David Steele. And you have been watching Real Talks. Bye-bye, guys.